Okay, for more now on this story, we've brought in Robert Carlin. He's one of the three Stanford University academics who visited the Yongbyon complex this month, and therefore one of the very few non-North Koreans to have seen the new nuclear facility with his own eyes. He and his colleagues traveled independently, not on behalf of the U.S. or the U.N., and earlier today, Robert Carlin told us what he saw at Yongbyon.
We came from the construction site of their new reactor, and from there to the site of this enrichment facility, you have to go past all of the old facilities that had previously been working in the Yongbyon complex, many of them looking rather decrepit from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Then we come to this new building. It's very nondescript from the outside, maybe 1.5 stories high, 100 meters long. Didn't look like there was anything unusual there. Walk up some polished granite steps. They opened the door. We walked into the control room, which was very modern looking. Four brand new computers and a lot of digital displays. There's a window. We walked over to the window, and that's where we were stunned because we saw row after row after row of centrifuges.
Centrifuges used to enrich uranium.
That's right.
You were expecting to see a few. You saw, in fact, somewhere between 1,000 and 2,000 of them.
That's right. It far exceeds what all the experts thought that the North Koreans had. When we were confronted with this forest of centrifuges, I would say our minds went blank for a few seconds as we tried to take in what it actually was that we were seeing.
And how closely were you able to examine what you were looking at?
The centrifuges are about a floor down from where we were standing and maybe 6 to 10 feet away. So we didn't have a microscopic view of them. We really got the panoramic view, which was even more breathtaking in some sense.
I guess one of the big questions would be whether this facility is actually operational. The North Koreans insist that it is. Were you able to verify that on your visit?
There wasn't any way from where we were standing for us to do that. We can't say for sure that it was, but I think the general consensus among the three of us was that there's no reason to suppose it's not operating.
One thing I'm curious about that I guess a lot of people are curious about is how North Korea managed to get so far so fast. As I understand it, this facility did not exist as late as spring of last year when the last international inspectors were thrown out of North Korea.
That's my understanding as well, and therefore the question you posed is very central. Of course, they told us that they were going to do this. They
mm-hmm.
announced it.
But nobody thought that they would be
able to. Nobody thought. And this tells us something about our own perception of North Korea, which is that we frequently underestimate their determination and their capabilities. They work with very little, and they work around problems, and they frequently exceed what we believe they're capable of.
In inviting the three of you in, the North Koreans obviously realized that you were going to report back on what you had seen. What is your guess as to why now, why they wanted the three of you to see this, have this become public? What kind of message are they trying to send?
Right now I like to stick to what they told us, which is that they had announced this a year ago, that nobody believed them, and now they wanted to show us that they do what they say they're going to do. This is very consistent with North Korean practice. From 2003 until the present, they have announced almost every step they're about to take along the way. Start up the reactor, withdraw the fuel rods, reprocess, even test. I don't know why they do that, I'll tell you the truth. And I think at this point it is wise for people not to go too far in their speculation and not to exaggerate North Korean capabilities. That happens all too often, much of that in the media. And it's titillating to have this speculation, but it really isn't a basis for good policy going forward.
Well, Robert Carlin, thanks very much.
Thank you for having me.
Robert Carlin has tracked North Korea from posts at the CIA and the State Department. He's now a visiting fellow at the Center for International Security and Cooperation at Stanford.